Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
When are train rides ever truly safe? Is that why it's not a reliable form of transportation anymore? I don't know where I'm going with this. It's the Ruby Volume 6, Episode 1, After Show and Reaction. We're starting right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's time, everybody. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show right here on Rooster Teeth Reviews as a part of AfterBuzz TV animation. We are back in full swing. Megan Salinas is going to be walking in any second, so stand by for that. That's going to be fun. But welcome into the show, everybody. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica, joined by the rest of the team, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello, hello.
And Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Welcome in, everybody. We have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time to talk about it. You would think that, I said the same thing last year when we started going weekly with this, you'd think that we'd have enough time.
Well,
we don't.
We used to double down episodes when they were 5 minutes long each. Now they're 23 minutes, and we're all just like, yay!
It's
so much.
Full television.
Yeah.
It's legit television. This theme song, fire.
Oh my god, it's incredible. Yeah. Like, the guitar bit started up,
literally,
and I just loved it.
As we were talking about it, but welcome in, everybody, as we transition to Megan Salinas leading the show. hey, other side of the table, what did you think of this episode?
What I'm loving!
Wait, cross, and go ahead.
What I'm loving is chat pointing out multiple different people saying, Team Ruby has crashed two trains so far.
Ooh, that's
Miraculous
true.
Corazon saying, what is up with Team Ruby crashing trains? And I believe Malachroma being the one to give us the number. So, yeah, what is up with Team Ruby crashing trains?
They have a talent.
They do!
It's
a train wreck waiting to happen.
Ooh.
Ba-dum-tish.
Symbolism.
That's a Sarah McLachlan song. Give me some credit.
What did I miss?
Absolutely nothing.
So what did I miss?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What did I miss? No, we literally just did the intro and talked about
Wonderful.
How cool the theme is.
And like a minute ago, I was like, ah, Megan's going to walk in any second. And here we are.
So yes, Stacey, as as Mark, go ahead and continue.
Yeah,
on
let her compose herself.
The topics that Mark went ahead and threw out.
So what did you think?
Yeah. Yes,
Ruby's
Stacey, so what'd you
back.
Think? That's what I thought.
Yeah, pretty much. And Malachroma corrected me. It was Ray D2Kill who gave the number. I'm too busy jamming to the song. Can't blame you.
Like, I was obsessed with the intro until Popstars came out. I was just saying that before we went live. And then I'm so happy the timing worked out on the little promo that I did. Oh, it's so good! Anyway, there was this episode was good. I'm really sad that one of the predictions that you and I had made various versions of in our recap came true, which we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah, for me, it's such a joy coming back to this show. It's always a lot of fun to watch, but I feel like this episode in particular, it feels like Ruby kind of like it's a return to form without backtracking, if that makes any sense.
This happens to me a lot with especially Rooster Teeth animated shows. Like they go on hiatus, a season ends, and I'm like, oh, that's fun. And then they come back, and that little part of my brain that just goes, hey, remember that you loved this? Starts screaming. So it's like, okay, Ruby's on break. Oh, Ruby's coming back. Oh, that'll be fine. And then we sat down to watch the first episode, and I've just been, the whole time.
Does anybody else have that fandom switch in their brain?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Since I was six.
It was the release of the intro, or the trailer. I was like, oh, interesting. And then once they got into the thick of it, it wasn't when the show opened and we got a taste of the fight sequence, but when we full on got into the fight sequence at the end where I was like, oh wow, they haven't missed a beat. Actually, no, the exact moment where I was like, oh, Ruby, was when they were in their cabin and it was bunk beds.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're back. Everybody's back. I'm
fine.
Oh, it's fine. I'm just going to lie here and cry for a while. And the bunk beds are in the same order.
I died.
They all went to their spots.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but that hit especially hard for me because we had just read, like, the manga where they're all, and, you know, there are a couple where they're in their bunk beds and, you know, focuses on their time at school together and everything like that. So coming right off of that review that we did right into this moment. Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, real quick though, before we dig further into the episode, we have a quick announcement for you guys.
We do, After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to this channel, AfterBuzz TV Animation, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't worry about it. They're optional. We would appreciate it if you hit that little bell, because then you know the exact moment when we go live, because sometimes our schedule here is a little touchy. But hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well, especially here, because yesterday they talked about Castlevania Season 2, and Adi Shankar was here. That was awesome, and it deserves a lot more views than it's getting right now. But let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans and for making us the ESPN of TV talk.
Camille Anchetta in chat says, fine, I'll subscribe.
Yay! Yay!
And if we got anybody new tuning in from the thing that I posted today, welcome!
And for those of you who are watching for the very first time, hi, we love you!
Welcome!
So I think that means we need to lay down a little bit of housekeeping, because we haven't done that
Oh,
yet.
That's good. Can't
indeed
do that.
Indeed. Great.
But is it great? Do you want me to lay it down while you take a minute?
I love where your head is at. Folks, we are adhering to community guidelines here on our show for Rooster Teeth. So what that means is that we're only talking about episode 1 for this season. We are not discussing episode 2. So guys, please be courteous for those who are on the public release schedule and don't leave spoilers for episode 2 in the comments, in the chat, etc., etc. You guys are always really good about that, but if we do have a lot of newcomers, yeah, it's important. Keep in mind, no spoilers for episode 2. There are a lot of people who rely on the public release schedule, and also just community guideline rules, guys.
Yeah.
So we would appreciate it. No spoilers for episode 2.
Thank you. For those of you participating in the Twitter hashtag, ABTV, Ruby ABTV has been retired. We are using the hashtag RTReviews. Mm-hmm. So do that thing. The live chat's not permanent, but the hashtag sure is.
It is, and we see so many fun things in there.
Yeah. And as a quick note before we dive deep, thank you to everybody who watched our Bloodfest review last week. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen the movie, see the movie, watch that review. It was a lot of fun to talk about. And two, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Hardcore Tabletop. They're releasing that Monopoly board on the RT shop, I think, tomorrow.
Okay, but is it that size?
No.
And does it come with its own jail built in?
No.
Damn. Then what's the point?
Well, that's fair.
I can't imagine shipping
no,
that.
No, but every copy comes with Officer Lindsay.
I'm in. I'm in.
Anybody who kickstarted Ruby Combat Evolve or Combat Ready should be getting them now. I got mine the other day.
That's exciting.
Nice. Yeah.
You know we're going to have to do a special feature where we all sit down somewhere and film it and edit together a nice little video. And
I mean, if you
here
want to spoil our Christmas schedule, that's fine.
Spoilers?
What?
Didn't we just say no spoilers,
what?
Katie? We'll talk about it soon.
Did I just give a spoiler that I didn't know existed?
Those happen.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alerts for real life is the absolute worst. Anyway.
I didn't know.
Anyway, guys, let's go ahead and dig into the episode. So, yeah, we let's not start off in medias res like the episode does. Let's start off at the top, leaving for the Argus Express. Mm. Now, this is it's a really great framing device because we have, it's a really good concise way of sort of being able to recap what happened last season. Crow is writing a letter to Ironwood. He's like, hey, in the event that, you know, we don't actually make it before this letter does, here's what's going on. And we established a couple things here, and one of which is that they're covering up the truth behind Leo's death. Now, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing for them to do? They're sort of sweeping under, you know, Leo's betrayal under the rug for James. Like, are they planning on coming forward with the truth when they actually get there? Or is this something that they're just planning on lying to him, like, straight to his face about?
I think it's more to the point that they were worried that the letter might be intercepted. And you don't put secrets into unsecured correspondence. I would imagine that when it comes to having an actual conversation with Ironwood, that they'll give him the whole story. But for now, because it's a letter, because, and the comment about we might make it there before the letter does, but it's unsecured correspondence going in the public mail. You don't put the truth on there, especially if you don't want the public finding it out and panicking.
And it seems like they're just further corroborating the story that's in the newspapers.
Yeah.
So good on them. I think it'll be interesting to see why they did that, however that comes out, if they just say, hey, why did you do that? or if somebody refutes it, is like, I was there and I saw that, whatever. But that's good.
Yeah, I think they kept it vague enough to where it was there's the information. You're not getting the whole story, which happened in very many other places in that letter. So.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. So one of the things that that brought me a lot of joy watching this episode was just seeing the sort of interactions that Team Ruby and Team Ranger are having in this train station while they're waiting to hit the road. And it is, as you mentioned, like we haven't missed a beat. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these people just click so well together. It's like they haven't been gone at all. What was your guys' favorite interaction when it came to sort of waiting for the train?
For me, it was Neptune and Ilya.
Just the wrong tree. He'll figure it out eventually.
The casual banter between Sun and Blake.
But at the same time, they talked for a while.
He did?
What was that conversation between Ilya and Neptune, and why did it last that long?
Super awkward, I'm sure.
Well, I can imagine Ilya just being legitimately confused at this person, and Neptune just being 100% tryhard mode. I want to see the conversation. Maybe that's a future chibi thing. And then we get you, Ilya.
Yes. Oh my god.
Yeah. It is time.
With her cute little ponytail girl.
Yeah. That would be adorable. Oh, I need it in my life. I just enjoyed all of this. Ruby coming back with whatever's in the bag and the difference between, really, you're doing that? What'd you bring me? Like, yes. Just, I've missed all of them. So much.
I think for me, it was definitely Ruby with the bag and Yang. But honestly, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to Nora. Imagine Ren in summer gear.
Beach episode incoming.
Please.
Yes,
and all of the snow is just a misdirect.
Chibi Beach episode.
Chi Beach,
yeah.
But they're actually just in the snow. They're just pretending really hard.
It's the wrong kind of beach. That actually would be fun to have, like, the reverse beach episode. Instead, it's a skiing trip episode.
Ice skating episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great. That'd be so much fun.
Adorable.
Well, you guys touched on it a little bit. We have this great interaction between Blake and Sun as he sort of bids her farewell. And I just love this whole interaction because he's like, you're where you need to be. And I go where I'm needed, and you don't need me anymore. Mm. And that was, it was bittersweet, but it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also the confirmation of his intentions, so to speak. Like, it was, we're Faunus, we stick together, we're really good friends. And then the line of, that's not what it was ever about. which it was like, great, wonderful, fantastic, moving on. It's good, you on I love, Neptune.
Oh, and Team Hot and Useless has returned.
Time to make some sweaty boys in the desert. Is essentially what he said.
That's Sun's true intention. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And Neptune just like, I love that musical sting, though, when he was talking about, we're back in action, we're going to go in the wasteland, it's going to be great. Like, just bringing that music back, that's one of my favorite pieces from Ruby ever, pretty much. So, I love it.
they do bring up the wastelands. Guys, what does your mind conjure when you think of these boys in the wasteland?
Sweaty boys, I already said it. Like, they should change their name to SWTY.
You're on one episode of Ships in the Night, and you come back talking ships.
I mean, yeah. Great plug. I was on it. Katie and I have both been on episodes. Have you?
Yeah.
So we've done a podcast called Ships in the Night for our friends, Zach and Greg. And yeah, but if you listen to my episode, I'm very tame. I'm very like innocent when it came to it, even though I shipped Castlevania's Dracula with Vampire Carl Mater. But aside from that,
so tame.
Yeah.
So very tame.
I just saw it on a billboard and I went, oh, not human, also a vampire. They're perfect for each other. But that's not
how it works.
If anybody, I mean, I know there's one viewer that watches the wrestling show I do on AfterBuzz as well. I'm not afraid to talk about sweaty dudes. And even if you talk, even if you go back to our shipping episode, the one thing that I shipped was sweaty dudes in wrestling.
So it's yeah, like, piss.
I'm not anything but consistent.
So Chad has pegged you for a sea monkey chipper.
Sure. So, oh, that is what it was called.
Yes.
Yeah. Hashtag canon.
Stacey, what is your mind conjuring when you think of the Wastelands?
Man, I feel like Sun is going to try really hard for about 3 days, and then they are going to get completely distracted, and it will be life as usual.
I feel like he's going to think it's just the greatest thing ever. Like, this is home to me. I love it. And everyone else is like, why? Why? It's like taking your city friends camping.
See, what
I don't want to be there.
What I pictured in my mind was my mind immediately went to Mad Max Fury Road. With, like, Neptune putting on the goggles and being like, oh, what a lovely day.
No, it would be anybody watching them trim would be like, oh, what a lovely day. Well, I'm also
witnessing them.
Yeah, I'm all for my boy Yatsuhashi. Like, he's one of the main people that I roll on Ruby Amity Arena. So I miss him a lot. Scarlet Peter as well. Like, I want to see this team back together. Much like I want to see Team Funky, which we never saw the other two members of.
It would be funny if they didn't come back for like another two seasons, and then it turns out that they've had this whole giant other world saving quest completely on the sidelines in the wasteland. And they're like, where have you guys been? Not everything's about you, Ruby.
We have a life outside of you. No, you don't.
I think Sun has grown enough to where he could head his own adventure.
Absolutely.
In that way.
I can't wait to see what shenanigans they get up to.
Please Clap noted that we know Coffee is heading to Vacuo in the new Ruby book. Maybe they'll meet up with Sun.
Maybe. And I totally blanked. Well, I don't know why I thought Yatsuhashi was in Team Sun. I forgot. Who's their fourth?
It's Scarlet and...
Scarlet, Sun, Neptune, and another S.
And another S.
Sage?
I don't remember.
I think it's Sage.
But you're right. Yatsuhashi's Team Coffee.
The chat will correct us in literally 0.2 seconds.
There we go, Malachroma. The big green boy with sword and Sun is named Sage Ayana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just proud I remembered that.
But I clearly remembered green boy with a sword.
Yatsuhashi, though.
Yeah. He's a good boy. So let's talk a little bit about this interaction between Blake and Ilya as well, because this whole sort of train sequence leading on to the train itself is very much putting a pin in sort of Blake's arc that she's had over the last two volumes. Mm. And a lot of that has been her sort of wanting to save Ilya in the same way that Sun sort of saved her. Now, is this sort of how you guys pictured their dynamic sort of shaking out, or were you expecting Ilya to actually go with Team Ruby and join our already pretty large ensemble cast?
No, this is the best way that they could have done it, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it shook out this way, because we have this character who had an unrequited crush on one of our other characters, got super mad about everything. And now Ilya's chill with it. Like, she gets that the feelings aren't there. They're still friends. She's moving on with her life. And I'm like, thank you for an example of something that you can do in real life. Thank you. We don't get enough of that. We don't get enough of, I had a crush on you. You didn't reciprocate. Okay, we can still be friends. And being cool with it. Like, I love that we got that. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. Good example for the kiddies who are still watching the show.
Agreed. And I think it's really good for Ilya. She's been such a part of a very mechanized team for so long. So to have her just jump over with Team Ruby and then become part of that identity I think she needs to jump off on her own. So her kind
of... She needs to figure out herself first. Mm-hmm.
So her having that chance to step away and explore herself is a good decision.
Yeah. And she can find redemption that way. And you can tell that Blake is also sort of looking for that. Because even though she's come to this... She's come a long way. She still feels a tremendous amount of guilt for what happened to Yang in particular. And we see that when they're on the train. And she... It's just this quick moment, but it carries a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. Where she... You can tell she's feeling... even though they're all in their bunk bed sort of situation, and everybody's acting like everything is fine, like it used to, you can tell that Blake is uncomfortable. Now, how long do we think they're sort of going to continue to be on opposite pages in terms of, like, when is it going to be okay? Because Yang seems to be pushing, like, hey, it's okay. We just have to get used to this new normal. But I don't know if that's enough for Blake right now.
I'm expecting it to come to a head at some point. I don't think this is one of those things that's going to get resolved quietly. I think at some point it's either going to be a knockdown dragout or be part of one.
Yeah, I think Blake needs to talk it out, whereas Yang is more like, all right, it happened, we're moving on. Like, she, you know, she's ready to keep going, but I think Blake needs to talk out those feelings. And so on the surface, I think we'll see a return to the more normal kind of interactions, but there'll still be little moments that we'll see shine through where it's like, oh, no, it's not okay.
It depends on our focus, because it looks like from the intro that... there's going to be a lot of flashbacky stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. So, depending on how much time we actually get to spend, will then indicate what actually happens. So, I don't know. It depends on what focus they truly take.
And kind of going off of that, the moment on the intro where it's Blake and Yang right across from each other on the train, there's that shot of Adam in the glass real quick. So there's this shadow of Adam Torres that is still there.
If I may. So is your pronunciation of Torres.
It's the worst.
If I may. El Toro. Adam ruins everything.
That is an acceptable pun. We'll high five later.
Approval.
Well played.
Someone Photoshop that for me.
So speaking of Adam, things aren't super great over with the White Fang.
He may have done multiple murders. It's fine. Okay. Everything's fine.
Totally fine. He's in control.
Things are great with the White Fang. They're all dead.
Great.
I mean, it's just him.
I guess that is...
I am the White Fang.
It's just Monica.
I guess that is the great equalizer. It's so sad. After the character short, seeing Sienna's throne cut in half, mm-hmm. like, oh, it broke my heart a little bit because she was better and she deserved better than what she got.
I saw somebody left a comment on one of our old videos, like, I'm surprised nobody came up with a name for the Adam and Sienna ship to be the Jungle Book.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, that was Gira. Excuse me. But either way, Gira and Sienna to be the Jungle Book, which is like, oh, that's
he's happily cool. married.
I mean, back then, was he? We don't know when they got married.
That's true.
So.
Camille in chat says, clean up on aisle 7. I repeat, clean up on aisle 7. And BG Titan says, nothing bad ever happened. Ever.
I will say I was a little surprised because not to delve too deep into the Adam character short that we had prior to this season, but at the end of that short, his mask falls off and he seems to leave it behind. So I actually was a little surprised that when we see him here in this moment, he still has the mask on.
Hmm. He's got like 15 of them stashed all around the world. You know that, right? It's just got caches of masks.
It's like the bit in Airplane where they keep taking off the glasses. And he's smaller and smaller until he's got two monocles on his eyes.
Nailed it. That's it. You cracked the code.
Daniel DePia, I don't know if that's how you pronounce that, in chat has, I think, my favorite prediction. I guarantee you at some point in this season, something bad will happen to Ruby, and at that point, every single bottled up emotion every character has is going to explode out all at once. I'm here for it. Give it to me.
For sure.
I think I've hurt you.
That's the most intense, like, episode of TV. I don't want that.
Yeah. Well, before we get back into the episode, really quickly, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys happen to like the show that we're putting on. And we tend to give shout-outs to people who comment on ours. I don't think we have any new ones, but
we don't have any new comments because not a lot of people seem to have seen Bloodfest. But in terms of iTunes, we also don't have any new reviews. So if you are new to the show, please head over to iTunes. Just look up Rooster Teeth Reviews. It's very easy. Leave us a review. Leave us a star. Remember, it's 5 stars. The other stars don't work. So if you leave us a review, it has to be 5. And also, we do have a five-star rating, so let's keep that going.
Yeah, pretty nice. And also, we are aware, too, that we have an international audience, which never ceases to impress me. We can't see those comments, but they do still count. They very much still count. So if you guys want your shout-out, go ahead and take a screen cap of it, put it in the hashtag RTReviews, and we will give you your shout-out because we love you, and you guys deserve nothing but the best because you guys are awesome and wonderful. All right, let's talk about the train. Now, we sort of glossed over it a little bit, but at the train station, we were introduced to the huntsman guarding the train. I've been calling them Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I'm not sure.
That's what they are.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's for sure what they were going for, but
one of them
Dee
is
and Dudley.
Called Dee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's D&D, Dudley. I mean, you could go Dudley Do Right. Like, I don't know what. if they're based off of any literary character or not.
I don't think that they're based off of anybody, but if they're, like, Tweedledee and Tweedledum is what immediately came to my mind with the bravado that they were putting on.
I 100% think that's what they were going for. Like,
I would have called him Dom. instead of Dudley, so
evidently,
you can go D and Dom.
Evidently, D and Dudley are both color names. That's something that scrolled through chat a while ago, so I don't remember who said it, but yeah, evidently they are both color names.
Oh.
And Miraculous Corazon mentions that D called Dudley Dummy. So, yeah.
So, legit. But point being, these guys are not qualified for what... I mean, they probably are qualified just for normal train security, but because Ospin fails to sort of list certain details... oh my gosh. Okay, real quick timeout. Malachroma did a fantastic Photoshop. Is that Malachroma? Because I feel like that's Malachroma. I didn't even know it was Malachroma, but I knew it was from Malachroma.
They wrote, the Photoshop signal was lit, and so I answered. Rohan calls for aid. I love you.
Malachroma,
oh my God.
You are the best.
And then presumably that's in the hashtag RTReviews?
Yes.
Go to Twitter, go check it out.
And the hashtag. As is Ty Bracamonte, who made Dee's weapon into a magic item for Dungeons & Dragons.
I like that weapon a lot.
Weird electric mace thing. I love it.
That's real cool. But, as I was alluding to before that wonderful segue, Ospin sort of failed to mention that the giant, you know, the artifact that they were able to retrieve from the vault happens to attract Grimm. So what does he do? He hops onto a train filled to the brim with civilians.
That's going through Grimm country.
What is going on in this man's brain?
Well, I think he could have covered it with the fact that we've got Crow's semblance of bad luck.
Yeah.
He's been like, oh, Crow, it's unnaturally bad luck right now, isn't it?
Himself, too. Blake made that comment about just my luck, and his reply was, it's not yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, does Blake not know? Like, who doesn't, like, that was a big moment.
Yeah.
Of the revelation of Crow's semblance.
They may not have gotten around to telling Blake yet or having that conversation.
I feel like there's a lot that Blake might not. I feel like
it's going to take some time to get her up to speed.
Yeah.
There's some stuff she needs to know.
Oh, yeah. Like, they kind of had several episodes worth of exposition that she was kind of absent for.
So anything happened while I was away? No, but let's tell you about God.
Wait, really?
By the way.
Poor Blake.
She's sitting here overloaded.
I'm the weird one, that's right.
She just BSOD, Blake's screen of death.
Maybe they were planning on, like, giving her the rundown while they were on the train. Like, Weiss compiled a PowerPoint presentation for her, and they just didn't get a chance to sit down and watch through it.
I feel like Nora probably acted out 60 or 70% of it on her own, playing everyone.
Fair enough. I would watch that one woman show.
Me too.
Chibi?
Chibi.
Chibi.
We're writing Ruby Chibi for you, you guys.
But the bad thing about this is that it kind of, I worry that sort of omission that Ospin is so want to do. I worry specifically about Yang, because she's already had the seeds of doubt planted in her by her mother. I worry that his continual sort of skipping over of the truth is eventually going to cause her to leave the team for good.
I don't know about that. I think what we saw with Ruby taking charge in the commotion after, and some ace trainer asked to know everybody's opinion of Dudley breaking his arm, to which mine was, oh, flip, but I didn't say flip. but I think her taking charge of that moment and showing, oh, that's what Silver Eyes do, I think we'll have a similar moment to that with the team, and it will either go well and people trust her, or people will go, you're using that Silver Eye magic on me and I don't trust you either. and maybe we'll get a pull apart of some sort.
Stacey?
Yeah, I think that's like, I don't know. I don't know if it will pull Yang away completely, but I do think we'll probably have some points of contention, or even her feelings on the matter might influence the team as a whole. Hopefully we're going to see them working as a team more than being torn apart again.
I think we're going to have a schism between the adults and the kids. And I honestly feel bad for Oscar, because he's stuck in the middle of that, and he asked for none of
poor
this.
Poor baby.
I do love the... And it's because I have Yu-Gi-Oh! On the brain and have for the past couple months. But I do love what we get to see of those little bits of internal monologue and, hey, can I? Nope, I'm in control. Sit down. And that all has been asking permission.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued by the development of this relationship, for better or for worse.
Yeah, I worry. I worry. Mm-hmm. When when the huntsman broke his arm, I will be honest that I definitely had a moment where I was totally expecting, because of the sound design, I totally thought his arm was going to be ripped off.
Your arm's off,
notice. Showed up in the next scene, I was like, oh.
Yeah, when it turned out to just be broken, I sat there and went, oh my gosh, that is so much better than I thought it was going to be.
And Ace Trainer brings up, it probably would have ripped his arm off if he didn't have any aura.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Still, excellent sound design and excellent editing, because it made me flinch.
Crunch.
Yep. I think we all just kind of yelled with it. Just like, ooh!
But you were touching on Ruby taking charge of the situation, and that's something that I very much appreciated in this episode. When she takes charge, she doesn't do it in, like, a kind of bolsterous way. She initially goes immediately for compassion. She asks very, very kindly for him to just turn off the turrets so that they can do what they need to do. And then, yeah, when everybody is getting ready to jump on Ospin, she makes the point of going, we'll talk about that later. Right now, kind of immediate sort of situation going on with these Griffin Grimm / that giant Chimera Grimm. Yeah. Which, let's talk about the actual fight, because holy cow, we got sort of a sneak peek of these Grimm at RTX this year, and it's so, so cool to finally see them in motion.
I'm happy we didn't have to wait long for them either.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's beautiful.
I loved the huge one, though. Like, in my mind, I have pegged the smaller ones as griffins, even though they said they were chimera, and the large one as a chimera because it had the full-on snake tail. But
manticore?
Yeah, I think that was the name.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the regular manticore lines were sphinx.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
I was
so
completely
cool.
Wrong about everything.
No, but the boss was chimera. No, Chimera is lion, snake, and
goat.
Something else.
It's almost always goat.
whatever.
It is quite often
beautiful,
goat.
Grim.
Yes. Beautiful, terrifying, beautiful. Grim. And guys, let's talk about this fight for a little bit because it is so refreshing. Stacey, you were saying that you wanted to see more of them as acting as a team, and that's exactly what this fight gives us.
Man, we jumped right back into it, working together. Like, just, I mean, it's got to be worked into just automatic reflexes at this point. They knew exactly how to react, and it's just so nice seeing them all working together again.
Like, Ren and Nora's team attack.
Yes.
That is something I think they've probably been doing since they were kids. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it reminded me, like you said, of getting back comfortable into the show. I was like, this is the fight against the mech in season 2 where they just were an absolute unit to be reckoned mm-hmm. with, and wrecked the mech.
Yeah.
I totally enjoyed it. And BG Titan Avatar brings up one of my favorite moments in the fight, which was literally grabbing it by the horns, and then flipping it over, and presumably throwing it off the train. I would like to think that it died, but
it died of embarrassment.
Look, I'm not going back up there. All right, I'm going to go back to my cave.
Nope, I'm done.
You do your thing. I've had enough for today.
Dang it, yeah. Phil, you had a part in this plan. I got thrown by a little girl. I'm finished.
It was enough for me.
Phil, out.
The Grim was suffering from social anxiety, and so, or performance anxiety, and it's just like, oh no, I'm just gonna go.
Bye, guys.
My limit for the day.
Grim feel negative emotions, too. kind of going off of that, I think we want to introduce a new segment.
We don't have a video intro for it, so let's just do it. Yeah.
Yep.
Technical issues.
Yeah. Well, folks, for the very first time this week, we want to bring you our new segment, our Grim Kill of the Week.
I mean, we can just do it.
Oh, no, I like this as the intro, the too. Jazz hands.
But to speak to it, my favorite Grim Kill of the Week was of D.
Ooh.
Because D got killed.
The quietest Ruby kill I think I've ever seen. He just exited stage left, carried by a manticore.
So I like
that. Bye, Felicia.
Now with this headcanon that we created with that other one, they both were looking and went, oh, geez, looked at each other and was like, you don't want to... And then they left. But presuming that the one that Yang threw off died, it would be that one. Just because that was just such a boss move.
Yeah.
Hard same. That one with just the... Yes.
Stacey.
That was a great kill. I'm going to talk about the main baddie, our main Grim of the episode. Specifically, though, the part where Blake lets loose her...
Her blade ribbon.
Yeah, her blade ribbon. There you go. And it's just Yang punching it around. That was
and nailing it. Like, not missing a single one.
Just absolutely wrapping up that Grim. That was beautiful.
And Fia brings up a good point. Let's rephrase this. When Yang totally yeeted that Grim... It was a death yeet.
ELS Gaming put death it as yeet. Yang grabbed life by the horns. I love you.
I love
yeet.
You.
Yeet!
Thank you. Yes to all
Bye,
of
Felicia.
This. Stacey, I'm going to have to be in agreement with you. Taking out the giant Grim was definitely my favorite.
That's an easy answer.
It is an easy answer, but I mean, it gives us everything that we want from a Ruby fight scene. It's the girls working in tandem as a unit. It's everybody using their specific special abilities. It's cool, awesome split screens. It's giant, cool. It's working with the different components of the weapons. And then, again, having a big action set piece to round it all off after the Grim is killed, too. Because you kill the Grim, and then there's this giant Anastasia-style train crash where they're only able to stay up because of magic.
I did love the mirror move, essentially, with Ruby and Crow, where you have this moment of, oh, yeah, he did teach her how to use a sight.
Exactly.
All right. Like, I love that.
My favorite part of the deconstruction was the freezing of the wings. Because that was just, like, I don't mean this as a pun. That was cold. That was... That was like, this fool ain't getting away.
Yeah, well, they're watching it, and they're like, we need to ground it. And then the thing with Gamble Shroud, and I had this moment of, all right, that's one way to do it. I thought they'd go for the wings. Oh!
No! They're dumbing down!
Yeah!
And they went for the wings.
They did.
Good job, Weiss.
And how?
I just look at this Grim Kill of the Week, and I'm like, teamwork. It makes the dream work.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's why it was so impressive, like, and why it was my Grim Kill of the Week, too, because this is the first time we've seen them together as a unit like that in a while. Mm. So yes. It was just very exciting on all levels.
Well, so the train crashes in the wake. It becomes uncoupled, and
Doesn't just become uncoupled. Yes. They decide. Yeah. Ren masks all of the civilians' emotions. They decide to split up, which is what I was afraid of, and you very eloquently explained during our season preview that we did last year. But I knew they were going to do it some way. I knew they were going to do it some way.
It's a very large cast to keep them all together, and I imagine that's very difficult to write. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see the need to split them up. And especially for a Team Ranger to sort of figure out who they are when Ruby goes back to Team Ruby. Mm-hmm. And so this will be a good opportunity to explore that. Mm-hmm.
And we saw Jean stepping up.
Yeah.
I mean, he and Ruby kind of had a tandem moment of taking leadership, and he's grown into a leader too.
Yeah. I'm so ridiculously happy that he has become a full-on paladin. Just... Yes.
Yeah, the last two volumes have been very kind to him as far as his character development goes, because they've given him a
lot of character development, but they have not been kind.
No.
When you hit rock bottom, you have nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
A solid foundation.
It's just, he's undergone a lot of development for sure. And so the train crashes, and we meet... A Yadala elder in the wreckage?
With Tron eyes?
So, this lady, Maria, she's got silver eyes, right? Oh. That's why she's wearing Maz goggles.
No.
Absolutely.
She had silver eyes.
Oh!
That's what I think.
Like it.
I think they were ripped from her, and those are her new eyes.
Oh my god!
Oh, I like that even better.
That's 100% what I think.
That's terrible. Yes. I love it.
I think,
and also there's the sugar skull cane, and also around the net. Like, her aesthetic is incredible. I want to know more about her.
She knows who she is.
Yeah, she do.
Kind of tying into that, let's go ahead. We're running short on time, as we always are for Ruby. Let's go ahead and delve into some really quick rapid fire predictions for the whole season.
Or the slow one.
Great, awesome.
I would like... Yeah, it's hard, because the intro gives us a certain idea of what it is. It keeps the entire team together, but already we know that Juniper's gone off, or Ranger's gone off. They're always... I don't care. Never forget, Pierre. Juniper. Team yeah. Juniper goes off. I would like to check in with them every now and again. Mm-hmm. In the intro, we have a hooded figure. If that becomes their baddie that they have to deal with, then we have two split stories, and that's how we keep them involved with the story, whatever. That's what I want to see. I legitimately don't know, because they kept... Last time when we looked at the intro, we were like, that stuff's not going to happen. And it all did.
It
all happened. Yep. So yeah. I don't necessarily have any... Well, the one thing... The fact that in the intro, we see Roman's hat...
We do.
Flying by the hood of Roman.
It's his long-lost sister.
Or it's Mio.
No.
Like, it could be Mio. Like, we don't know. So if the memory of Roman is brought back in some way, I don't know. I legitimately don't have any predictions so far. I really don't.
Turns out that Grimm horked him up later on. He's still alive.
He's half a boy.
Too stubborn to die.
Indigestion.
It's like Ron Perlman in Pacific Rim. He just got his way out.
Where I would believe it.
Damn hat.
Stacey?
So going from
the intro, I feel like we're going to get a lot of background. We're going to do a lot of the flashback. There were a lot of characters that we have never seen before in that intro. We have a lot to learn. And hopefully what will happen is when things settle down a little bit, Team Ruby is going to start pressing Ozpin a little bit more because he needs to be pressed.
That is the one thing about the intro. It looks like we may get the last time Ozpin took over somebody, the last time he two-souled somebody, but aside from that, I don't know if the other person that they showed is the last host, or if it's somebody else. Like,
it looks like we got a train of hosts, like we got to see past Ozpin.
Like Avatar style.
Yeah!
Katie, is that your prediction?
I'm actually kind of looking at something that Corazon has been putting in the chat and in the hashtag. There's Crow's comment about one of you bozos left the caboose open, and so people think that Adam is actually there and was on the train that he got in via the staff entrance, which I'm intrigued because we have no idea what the timeline was for him going back to the throne, where he was, what he was doing, where he went from there. So that could be interesting. I am leaning hard on my kid adult schism here, especially given stuff that we've seen in the intro and whatnot. Like, I'm intrigued, and I'm biased. I really want more of this crazy Yu-Gi-Oh! Relationship with Ozpin and Oscar. Like, show me!
My one prediction, given that we have a blonde young woman standing in front of a statue, I look at that and I'm like, our Breath of the Wild crossover is happening in Volume 6!
Confirmed!
Wait, who is our hot fish guy?
Neptune?
But I thought Sun was the hot half of hot and useless.
God, could you imagine if he just has some sort of... The reason why he has phobia of the water is because he can't accept that he's a fish faunus.
What
if he's a merman and he's just been on land so long because he's afraid of something that happened in the water that he's just human form?
This is where Sun is needed!
Like the movie Splash, where if he returns to the ocean, he will become a merman again.
Why he's so against
is it his 13th year yet?
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to wrap it up for the evening. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. If you like reaction videos for Rooster Teeth stuff, they live on that channel. I'm actually going to make this video public as soon as I get home, so that's going to go up. I am also on an Overwatch podcast called On the Point.
Stacey.
Guys, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over at Twitch at InventoryFullPT.
Well, what was the last thing that we streamed? Was it Overwatch?
I think we played some Overwatch.
Yeah, Halloween Overwatch stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun.
My dumb coughing fits have kept me from streaming too, but make sure to hit us up over there. We're getting a lot of attention, and I really appreciate everybody coming over. Oh God, that Neptune thing messed me up. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can follow all of us at The Rooster Team. I put up a fun little mashup with Pop Stars, that League of Legends song, which I can't get out of my flipping head. And if we didn't have sort of like, we just come in on the Ruby thing, I would have been like, every week we're coming into Pop Stars because it's so damn good. Check that out on our YouTube page as well. So make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. And check out tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. We actually made a couple of sales over the weekend. Humbly appreciate everybody doing that. If the more, 100%. If you support us by heading over to our TeePublic, where there's a lot of sales pretty frequently, 100% not exaggerating, the more we can do Welcome to Vail. We are all very, very busy people, and if we have any sort of a financial backbone to that show, we can do it more. We were trying to do an episode for Halloween / Ruby's birthday. Didn't work out. So, yeah, humbly, if you can spare... supporting, that's how you can... Oh, we also have a coffee. We have a KO-FI if you want to help support all of our independent stuff as well. That goes on to that other YouTube channel. Please hit us up there. I think the coffee link is in our Twitter account. I think that's what we have listed as our website. If not, follow us on Twitter for more information on there. And thanks to all of the fine fans who are tuning in here for the first time. We really, really appreciate it. We'll be more on time next week. and I know that because I'm the podcast that runs in the studio before that, so we will end a lot sooner. But I've talked for too much. Thank you.
Buy my book.
Buy my book.
But no, and so started late. That was 100% on me. So sorry about that, guys. And yes, if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Follow the whole team at ABTV Rooster Team, or at the Rooster Team. Sorry, that's the old handle. You guys so much. We will see you all next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.